everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy John Couch. John's engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. It's Friday, October the 16th, 2020. On 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts, almost 10 years now of Buckmaster shows that have been accumulated, all archived for you at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we do a big shout out to our media partners, including TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith, thanks, Dylan. Dan Scheer and the gang at Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Jim Nensel over at the Tucson Weekly, the Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today features Grant Woods. Mr. Woods was Arizona's Attorney General from 1991 to 1999. In the 1980s, Grant was the first Congressional Chief of Staff for the late Senator John McCain and was a longtime friend and confidant of the McCains. Grant Woods delivered the eulogy at Senator McCain's funeral in 2018. During the presidential race in 2016, Grant Woods was the only Arizona Republican to have held high office who endorsed Hillary Clinton. This year, he's endorsing Joe Biden for president. Joining in our conversation, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I'm okay, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Thank you very much. And Grant Woods. Grant, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good to talk to you again, Bill.
It is good to talk to you. You know, this year, like never before, Grant Woods, the road to the White House goes through Arizona. In fact, CNN has said that this state is a must-win for President Trump to win re-election. Grant, why is Arizona suddenly considered a swing state?
Well, I think I think Joe Biden has a great chance to win here, and I think Arizona has proven over the years that in propositions, if you put a reasonable, moderate proposition in front of the public, they will in Arizona they'll pass it, and they'll reject extreme propositions. When you look at candidates, I think they've shown for a long time now that they're more than willing to elect moderates, be they Republican or Democrat, to statewide office. So, you know, it just depends on the dynamic. And I think it's only gotten more moderate, if you will, as the years have gone by, especially over the last 10 years or so, with different people moving in. A few different demographic dynamics. So I think we have the perfect storm right now in that you have a president who, in my view, is unfit for office, and certainly in the view of many people who maybe have voted for a lot of Republicans in their life. And then you have the Democrats nominated the one person who I think would have a lot of appeal to just that sort of voter. So I don't think it should be any surprise. Someone dug this out, and I actually flashed it on CNN recently. I went on CNN twice a year and a half ago, and I said, I guess, write it down. So I guess they did. I said, if Joe Biden's the nominee of the Democratic Party, Joe Biden wins Arizona. Kind of thought I was nuts then because it sounded kind of off the wall. And, of course, Joe didn't do too great for a long time, and so it looked like a bad prediction. But I'm sticking by it. I think Joe Biden wins Arizona. He's the right guy for the right time.
Tim Steller, join our conversation.
So happily, Bill. Thanks. I am interested in your journey away from the Republican Party. I think I know from reading that you think the party drifted away from you more than vice versa. Wondering where do you think the bulk of Republican voters in Arizona are ideologically these days? Are they more like Kelly Ward Republicans, Daniel McCarthy Republicans, or are they more like, I don't know, Arizona Chamber Republicans or Kathy Herod Republicans? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tim. I think it's a combination right now. You have an awful lot of people who've left the Republican Party. So when you see when you see these numbers like X high percentage of Republicans still support Trump, you got to take into consideration that a lot of people have left the party and they left because of Trump. I do think you have a combination. We certainly have a lot of people who are. For whatever reason, they've gone hook, line, and sinker on Trump. I don't know what that's all about, really. It's kind of defies logic, but that's where they're at. And then you've got the Chamber of Commerce types who are just very reluctant to take a chance on voting for a Democrat, which to me is ridiculous. I mean, I think they ought to pick the best candidate. And they know where we're at. They know better. They're kind of like Ben Sasse, frankly. If you see how he speaks in private now, that's how they speak in private, too. But that doesn't take a lot of courage to say that in private and then in public cower. So it's time to step up. But you've also got where's the opening here? I'll give you a few ideas on it real quickly. You have the McCain Republican, and you see Cindy McCain out, myself out, of working hard for Biden. People like us. I think we have about 100 of John's former staffers who have all endorsed Biden. So you have that type who just cannot stand by while we see Trump behave the way he behaves, how he deserts our allies, how he's just all about himself. He's the opposite of country first in our view. So you've got the McCain group there. That's a pretty good group of Republicans. Then you've got women. In general, Republican women who you can see the numbers. I mean, he's getting annihilated among women. So that's not good for him. And then we have another little group I just point out that we'll see how large it is, but I think it's pretty significant in Arizona. And that's the LDS group that almost always votes Republican. But there's a sizable faction of the LDS voter that's voting for Biden here. They know he's a good man. They're a little antsy about, you know, him being a Democrat and all of that, but they're repulsed by the behavior of Donald Trump. That's the opposite. I grew up in Mesa, you know. I've spent my entire life, luckily for me, being around Mormons and the Mormon church, and these are great people, and they do not act like he acts. And they really reject his views on immigration and his denigration of people who come here from Mexico and Latin South America. They're very moderate in that. They treat people like human beings, which isn't consistent with their religion. So I think that's where the opening is here, and I think that's why we're ahead. But it's close enough. We'll have to wait and see. People are going to have to go out and vote.
Tim, let me jump in here. I don't know if you had a follow-up, but I wanted to ask Grant Woods about, if Trump doesn't win this election, what happens? How does the Republican Party, will it be fractured in a way where you might have a Tea Party movement of kind of Trump loyalists? Or how do you see that playing out, Grant?
Yeah, that's a big mess. I don't know the answer to that. I think it may take a while because you see, since the passing of John McCain, very few Republicans in elected office have stepped out and done what they should have done, which is just call it as they see it. And they don't support this behavior or these views on the issues either. So on many issues. So I think it may take a while. It kind of depends on how bad the Republicans get beat in a couple of weeks. If they get trounced, frankly, that'll make it easier for the party to regroup. And I do hope they regroup. We need a strong two-party system in this country. I will also say I think the Democrats – I'm not a party guy, as both of you know. I think the Democrats are going to have their challenge, and it's not going to be – it'll probably be 4 years from now. We got our hands full right now with on the Biden team to try to restore order in this country. And you take issue after issue and department after department. And, man, that's a full-time job getting this thing back in shape for our country. But then where does the Democratic Party go from there? Do they go the Bernie Sanders route that a lot of the progressives would like them to do? Or do they go more moderate route like a Joe Biden? So they got to answer their questions about their future. The Republicans, I think it's going to take them a while because you got a big mess on your hands because I believe they're going to get routed, and then we'll see what they do. But anyone who's hooked their star to Donald Trump, if he gets routed, I don't see what kind of future they have, and that's most of them. So maybe we'll get a whole new group of people in there who actually put their country first and put their principles first and stand for principle rather than power.
If there is this route, how will that impact Martha McSally? What do you think her chances are right now?
I think her chances are not good right now. I think if it's a high turnout, if we have a high turnout in Arizona, I think Biden wins. With a decent margin, and I think she loses as well. If it was a real low turnout, then I think both Trump and McSally would have a chance. Trump probably in slightly better shape than McSally. McSally just, the voters, I'm also I've been a trial lawyer my whole life as well. I don't have any problem going to the voters, and I don't have any problem going to juries because they're just regular people, and they have a way of seeing through the BS and spotting, people who are trying to pull a fast one on them. And in Southern Arizona, we know Martha McSally came in. She was a moderate. She was going to be the moderate Republican. She didn't vote for Donald Trump, she said 4 years ago. And then she turns around because now she wants to be a senator, and she embraces Trump, and she's all Trump all the time. And, she lost somehow with an idiotic appointment. She got appointed. And now if you saw her debate, which I'm sure you did with Kelly, she's running away from Trump again because she could read the numbers. People don't like that. She's just not a good candidate. She has no business being in the United States Senate, and she's not going to be come later this year.
All right, Tim Stella, you want to jump in here real quick, or should I take the break to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery?
Why don't you take the break, Bill? I got a good one all lined up.
Perfect.
Hey, Bill, can I just, so I don't forget, I know you got to take a break, but I just want to throw a shout out to, I did it on social media today, but it was kind of a nice night for U of A last night, I think, in that Savannah Guthrie, a grad, did a heck of a job there in very difficult circumstances. And I mean, she showed her quality education that she got here in Arizona.
Well, Grant, you might remember that Savannah was with me for 4 years over at KUAT at Arizona Illustrated. She was one of my student crew members for 4 years. I was very proud.
I'm sure you were proud of her. That's pretty cool.
I
did a great job.
I was very proud of her. All right. I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. Mona's Northeast Corner Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open for breakfast. They're open right now for lunch. They've got some indoor seating, plenty of room out on the patio. Beautiful mornings now. Great place to have breakfast or lunch right now. Online orders, pick up, welcome. Mona's open Monday through Saturday, 6:30 to 5, and then Sunday, 7 to 2. Chances are I'll see you up there probably for breakfast on Sunday at Mona's Danish Bakery, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Grant Woods and Tim Steller in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our Buckmaster Show live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday focus interview, former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods. We're talking politics with Mr. Woods, myself, and Tim Steller. Well-known columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Tim, you said before the break you had a good one for Grant. Let's hear it.
Well, actually, it's kind of deriving from my talk about state Republicans. One of your successors in the Attorney General's office is, the current one is Mark Brnovich. I've been really interested to watch him in recent months and years. It appears to me, and I want to ask if it appears to you, that he's trying to get closer and closer to the Trump position on various issues. The one that really just jumped out at me was when he offered his opinion formally that Trump should not be convicted after his impeachment. I believe that's what it was. So I'm wondering, what do you think is going on with Mark Brnovich?
Yeah, I don't know for sure on his political motivations. I hired Mark back in the day. I think it was his first job, and he did a great job in the AG's office then. He's a good guy, and I think he's done a good job as Attorney General. I actually think, Tim, that he's I don't know in the politics of it. I mean, politics is always part of it, but I've been impressed that he usually calls it as he sees it. And that's put him in kind of some interesting positions, and they aren't necessarily good for him politically, in my view. But I think whether you agree with him or disagree with him on a particular issue, he's taken on some fights that certainly weren't in his political interest. I mean, he sued the Board of Regents a couple times. I disagree with both of those lawsuits. I wouldn't have considered that. But they don't win you any friends. And so if you have political aspirations, you wouldn't do that. But obviously he feels strongly about that. The Trump stuff, you know, I don't know. Every now and then, even if you try to be independent in this day and age, the attorneys general, way back in the 90s, they were very, we were nonpartisan. I'm telling you, we met as a group. There was no Republican AGs or Democratic AGs. Those organizations didn't exist. And we fought to make sure they didn't exist. After I left, they formed, and it's highly partisan now, which is too bad. So that office is kind of like every other office, highly partisan. And I just think sometimes it's hard to avoid the pressure that you get to chime in for your party. But, so I think, and so where does Mark go from here? You know, I'm sure he's going to take a hard look at the governor's race. He would be he'd be the top Republican to take a look at that. I don't know whether he'll do it or not. He does beat to his own drummer, and I view that as a good thing and unusual.
Tim, I wanted to jump in here since we're kind of speculating about political futures. I want to talk a little bit about Governor Ducey. Not real popular, according to the polls, in his own state here in Arizona. So you wonder about what's the future for Mr. Ducey?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see much of one. You know, I can see why. Yeah, I think he's the least popular governor in the country, certainly, you know, in the bottom group. And, you know, I think the most popular is a Republican from Massachusetts, Charlie Baker. And so it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It matters whether you're actually a leader and you stand for something and you get things done. But Ducey, for whatever reason, he kind of walked the line for a long time. And then this year, earlier in the year, he threw all in for Trump. Now he's 100% Trumper. And I also think he botched the coronavirus thing in Arizona, and as did Trump. And the voters aren't going to forget that. So I don't know what he does. I guess he could run against Kelly in 2 years. He could, you know, I don't know. I don't see much of a future there, but I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see.
All right, Tim Steller.
Yeah, so speaking of the Senate, you considered making a run for the Democratic nomination, if I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago in 2018, mm-hmm. and eventually decided not to. Some people went after you from down here in Tucson, went through your old radio hosting, some of the comments you made and stuff. Is that what made your decision for you when people went after you and revealed those comments, or was there other stuff going on in your mind?
Well, that's like, that's just preview of coming attractions when you think about running in this day and age. I mean, look at Martha McSally. Every ad on Mark Kelly is questioning his integrity and his patriotism and his everything else. He's like world's biggest crook, according to her, which is a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a patriot. He served his country his entire life. I mean, so. You can't get into it and not know that it's inevitable they're going to, you know, do something and not just a little bit, a lot. For me, it was the idea, prospect of running for office, I've looked at all of them, but I've always said no. And the reason is it's just there's a lot to do in the world. There's a lot to do in life. What are the great travelers? yep. Of course we haven't been able to do that for a while, but it's that's part of life as well, to be able to, you know, to, I'm very interested and I do a lot of writing. I'm interested in the theater. I'm interested in film. I'm interested in other countries. And I just don't, you know, so why, the reason I looked at it was because Martha McSally is a 100% Trump enabler. And the reason I left the Republican Party was not because of Trump. It was because of all the enablers, because other than John McCain and Jeff Flake and occasionally Mitt Romney, nobody said anything. They just let it go. They enabled Donald Trump to be the kind of president he's been. And so obviously they don't stand for anything. So I was not going to let her have a free ride. But, you know, then Kelly surfaced and you know, he's really an outstanding candidate. What can you say? He's got a tremendous background. Gabby, we've all loved Gabby. I supported her when she was in the legislature. I was a Republican. She was a Democrat. I supported her when she ran for Congress. I love Gabby. And what happened to her is so tragic. But, you know, look at what a great story, the way she's come back. So she's a hero. So they came up with a good candidate who could win, and I think will win. So that was great. All the better for me because I haven't had to do all of that crap or take that crap for the last year and a half. So honestly, Tim, it was about duty on our country. I was not going to sit by and let John McCain's seat go to some Trump enabler.
Grant, let's see if we can get a couple of quick predictions. The so-called tax the rich initiative. It's unusual on this cycle. We've only got really two marquee items on the ballot. So let's hear your thoughts, your predictions. The Red for Ed initiative, basically tax the rich, going down or going up?
I think it's going to win. That's kind of what my gut says. With a high turnout, I think it wins. I think we're going to have a massive turnout in Arizona and in every state. So I think it wins. And I think the reason why is it's kind of time to flip the tables on these guys, because every time all they say is, it's kind of like Trump and his health care plan. I got a good health care plan coming up. Well, wait a minute. You've been there for 4 years. Where is it? You don't have one. Okay, and these guys in Arizona, the legislators are always, oh, no, we're going to fix public education. We're going to fund K-12. We're going to do a lot better. This is not the answer, but we'll do better. Here's the bottom line. They won't do better. I went to K-12 in Arizona. They haven't done jack my entire life. I'm in my 60s now. What are we going to do? Now they're going to do it. They're not going to do it. So is this a great idea? I don't think it's the greatest of all time, to be honest with you. But I'm going to vote for it because we're going to flip the script. And we're going to fund public education. And if they come up with a better way, they can go back to the people, back to the ballot.
How about marijuana?
Yeah, I think that passes. And, you know, I think Arizona kind of handled it pretty smartly. You didn't know exactly how this was going to work. Legalizing marijuana. So we let other states do it, and we've seen how Washington and Oregon and Colorado, California, how it's worked, and it's worked fine. So you might as well do it. You know, I come from a criminal justice background as well. I was a public defender, as a prosecutor, and it's a big waste of time to go after people for possession of marijuana. I mean, come on. There's more important things to do in life. And it was a waste of time when I was a public defender in 1980. Okay, they charge people with a felony because they had a baggie of marijuana on them. You drag them in and you give them a $63 fine and send them on their way. Total waste of time. Nothing's changed. It's still a waste of time. So we need to move on.
All right, Tim.
And I think Arizona will pass it.
Tim Steller, quickly get one more question in or comment.
What will it mean if Arizona, the Democrats take over one chamber or more of the legislature? How do you think that'll affect the state or the policy making in the state?
Well, I think it'll be great because it will stop the Republicans from doing any harebrained schemes, and they have a lot of them. And you got to remember when I got to the point when I was AG. I was AG all of the 90s, right? By the end of my time, I didn't even want to go down to the legislature because they were so wacky, okay? And I was a Republican, but I wouldn't even go down there. My people would say, hey, you've got to go. Come on, your budget's up, this or that. I go, oh, please, I can't do it. Now, looking at that legislature, those were the glory days. They're much more reasonable than some of these jokers that you've got in there now. So I think... guess what? You're going between the governor and the Republican leadership of the legislature, maybe they're going to have to look for common ground rather than just trying to jam through a bunch of junk. So I think that'd be a good thing. And I don't mind divided government. As I said, I'm not too big on either formal party. So a divided government, maybe it means they don't get much accomplished except what they can truly find consensus on, and that might be a good thing.
All right, Grant Woods, always a pleasure. Good catching up with you, Grant, and hearing some of your thoughts. Thanks.
All right. It was great talking to both of you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Tim Steller sticks around for, I've got a couple of things to bring up with Tim, a couple of local items on the agenda. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Buckmaster on a Friday continues right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, who doesn't really hold back any punches. He's really got some very strong political thoughts, and that's why we had him on the show. Wanted to hear what he had to say about Arizona and whether or not or why we've become this swing state. So interesting to hear his thoughts. Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and still with us on the live line, Tim Steller. Tim, lots to talk about with you, and I want to begin with we had a cancellation of the Winter Street Fair along 4th Avenue. We have the Book Fair now being canceled, the Festival of Books going virtual. So I guess it's not canceled. It's just been shifted over to a virtual format. And from what I understand, a decision will be made today, Monday or Tuesday, at the latest, Tim Steller, on the big one, the granddaddy of them all, the gem show, the big economic impact. That's going to be very, very telling for the way we're going to, or hopefully, try to recover from this thing.
Yeah, it's very scary to be coming into winter season, our high season, with the prospect of a fraction of our usual visitors coming in, and especially those that spend a lot of money, like at the gym show. But we have to face it. That's very likely what's going to happen. I doubt we'll have many, if any, of our traditional events here that draw visitors. And it's scary. I mean, we can't just, we need ways to keep ourselves and our businesses afloat. And the city of Tucson can only do a little bit. Pima County can only do a little bit. But, we got a state and a federal government that we need to turn to for more help keeping our various boats afloat.
And then you'll have the rodeo. That's you were talking about some of the big marquee events. That will be interesting to see the way they will go. There's a big golf tournament. I don't know what, about TV and anything to do with that. But we're facing a really a difficult time here for really so many people in this town depend on tourism. The downtown area, this is really a blow with Cafe Poca Cosa deciding to close their doors. The headline in your paper says to shutter permanently. I don't know if that's whether they have any plans maybe to move. What about moving to a place, like Oro Valley or somewhere that might be more conducive?
Yeah, I don't know about Poca Cosa's plans other than they said they were shutting permanently. I don't know. I mean, the only big difference I see in a place like Oro Valley is that they would have parking right there. I suppose you might have more room for outdoor dining if you're in a less dense area than downtown. But, these are the things that are going to keep happening as time goes on if we don't do something. It's not just Poca Cosa, and it's not just restaurants. It's any business that relies on people gathering together that, I was thinking of bowling alleys earlier. I guess they are doing some bowling now. But honestly, my opinion is we need to do a better job or do some job of offering relief again. We haven't done it for a long time. There was a relief package back in April, May, and we need something new if we're going to keep limiting people's behavior in order to limit the spread of the virus. And we need to get past this winter probably is the crucial time. And then, hopefully a vaccine and some good treatments will be ready and we can start to resume more normal life.
One of the things that came out of our interview with Senator Andrea D'Alessandro this week, I did not realize that there's a strong movement at the legislature. It's all going to be virtual. That's what they're talking about right now.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that came out in our, we did a political interview with her, and we also had her opponent the next day. But that little bit of news came out of the interview this week, and that surprised me. I thought that the lawmakers would be going ahead in January, and now there is this kind of rebellion, Tim Steller. Top lawmakers want to review Governor Ducey's this whole emergency powers. This is going to be right at the forefront of this upcoming session.
Yeah, well, okay. This is not surprising. It's probably more surprising that it hasn't happened yet than that it is happening now. All over the country where governors have taken some strong measures, it's arguable whether Ducey has done that, but the Republican legislatures have resisted and even overturned the governor's attempts. So the best example of this is that I know of is Wisconsin, where they actually the legislature was able to get the Supreme Court to convince the Supreme Court to essentially give them many of the powers that the governor was trying to assume in responding to the pandemic. And what you saw in Wisconsin is that as soon as the legislature took over, they did nothing. They rolled back some of the governor's measures and then did nothing. And now Wisconsin is the epicenter of the biggest outbreaks in the country right now, from Madison in the south all the way up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. If you look at the New York Times map or any of a variety of other maps, you can see that the per capita cases are higher there than almost anywhere else in the country. So, I mean, it's not surprising that they would go after these powers and try to restrict them. What could be more interesting is what happens November 3rd. So if Democrats take a chamber, which is what they're avidly trying to do, then that could change all of this. By January, we would have a Democratic majority, most likely in the House, if it's going to happen at all. And they might go along with Doug Ducey's whatever measures he wants to take, or they might even push for stronger ones. I would probably expect that. So all of this is somewhat dependent on the election, and I would say even the Attorney General's handling of it could be affected, because of course he'll be dealing with a different majority who's pushing him in a different way.
Yeah, I think so much will depend on the election. Governor Ducey, if Trump is reelected, you could see Governor Ducey dropping all emergency powers and all restrictions in the state of Arizona. That's just a gut feeling I have. Your thoughts?
I could see anything. Anything's possible, but I think what will be guiding is the outbreak itself. I mean, the pandemic itself. Right now, we're trending back upwards. We had that really scary peak in late June into mid-July, where we were the worst place in the country, if not the world. And that finally brought some response out of the governor, although more so the mayors and county supervisors around the state. They started bragging at July, August, September about how well we were doing. And we were. But now we're backsliding. The numbers are rising again. And so if the hospitals fill up again and the death toll starts to mount again, then it's going to be hard. I don't see the governor doing nothing, even if President Trump is reelected.
There is some good news, I think. And Dr. Carmona was on the program yesterday. And as you know, Tim, he's leading the reentry at the University of Arizona. He's fairly pleased with where we are right now with the testing at the University of Arizona. I was just looking at the case numbers today. I think it's close to 800 cases statewide in Arizona. Yesterday, we went over the 1,000 mark for the first time in a long time. Now we're back down a little bit. But here's the good news, I think, for Pima County. We've been just a fraction of the state's COVID case numbers. Today, I think it's like 40 cases with zero deaths. So that's some good news.
Yeah, that's great. If we could do it, the university had its spike, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that led them to try to implement a lockdown of sorts. And hopefully that has had a kind of a pass-on effect that continued after the lockdown, where people were starting to take things more seriously. But, we're getting into that season when, the risks are rising again. And so I hope he's right. But if the university does well, that'll help Pima County. But it's not the only determining factor, unfortunately. There's obviously at some point there are kids are returning to some schools. And whether that's much of a focus of the outbreaks is still undecided. But, it depends on people's behavior, and it's hard to maintain this kind of monk-like existence of staying at home and there's a lot of political pressure to kind of be a rebel and pretend it's not happening. And I wish I were more hopeful, but I think I can't imagine we're not going to have some return to an outbreak and probably another imposition of measures, and then maybe another improvement, and hopefully eventually we get there to a vaccine without much of an emergency redeveloping.
All right. Tim Steller, Columnist of the Year, winning that award from the Arizona Press Club. Tim, congratulations again on that. Also, one of your colleagues, Tony Davis, who's written about the environment, was the Journalist of the Year, named Journalist of the Year, well-deserved. I haven't really had Tony on the program, and I'm going to sit down and do a deep dive with him in November. So he's got a lot.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a lot to cover, and he's been covering a lot. So he's had a very interesting career. Tim, I'm out of time, but what do you have in the paper for Sunday? What's the column about?
You've heard me talk about COVID relief, and that is my plan, although I have some other things. I actually have a story coming out tomorrow, which is just a news story, not a column, that I happened to gather some info on. So I just turned it into a story, which is about the incredible amount of outside spending that's going into defeating two Republicans on the northwest side of Tucson, two Republican legislators. They're dropped as much as $100,000 in a single day going after Mark Fincham and Vince Leach.
Wow.
In Legislative District 11. It's an incredible amount of spending that's going on now by some of these Democratic-aligned groups.
All right. Tim Steller. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks.
That's the Buckmaster roundtable portion, the small roundtable during these COVID times. Tim Steller on the live line. Matt Russell on the live line next in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
All righty then, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County. It's time to start planning about that getaway, only a three-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful area of the Southwest in the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. It's Friday afternoon, Bill. How do you expect me to answer that question? I'm ready for this weekend.
Yeah, you're ready, all right. And maybe a wine glass in hand. So.
Absolutely. You know me all too well, Bill Buckmaster. You know, for local wine enthusiasts, tomorrow is going to be a great day to hit the road and head to Pierce, Arizona, which is just south of Wilcox, for the second annual Pierce Wine Mixer. It's going to be hosted by Four Tails Vineyard on East Pierce Road. It's going to be an outdoor and socially distanced event featuring several Arizona wineries pouring their season's best, along with live music and local vendors, and of course, great food for pairing. Tickets are just $25, which you can get today online through Eventbrite. Just look for the Pierce Wine Mixer, appoint your designated driver, and off you go for a great Saturday in the wine country.
Any reopenings we need to hear about?
Yes, and this is a great one. Another restaurant reopening that I am thrilled to report. Cafe a la Carte is open once again. Of course, located in the historic Stevens House at downtown's Tucson Museum of Art, Chef Jonathan Revis and his team are running three beautiful plated specials during dinner service, in addition to their standard menu, while highlighting a daily salad, soup, and lunch specials, too. Bill, their stunning patio is one of my favorite settings for any meal, whether it's breakfast, lunch, brunch, or dinner. So I say include Cafe a la Carte in your weekend dining plans and join me in welcoming them back.
Yeah, it sounds like a great suggestion. Matt, have a great weekend, buddy.
Right back at you, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. My thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.
Brains aren't fully developed until we're 25 years old. Marijuana use inhibits brain development, causes permanent IQ loss, and leads to long-term dependence. In states that have passed measures like Prop 207, more teens get a hold of marijuana and use it, putting their brains and futures at real risk. Prop 207 would allow marijuana sellers to lace candies and cookies with marijuana, fill vape pens with high-potency pot, and advertise them all on social media, a teen favorite. Even kids too young to use could be at risk. When you drop off your child at daycare, you don't expect the caregiver to be stoned. But under Prop 207, there's nothing stopping employees from using marijuana and then heading into work. Protect our kids and Arizona's future. Visit no207az.com and vote no on Prop 207. Paid for by Arizonans for Health and Public Safety, not authorized by any candidate.
My heat and air were in a state.